Today in America, we know that whenever someone is selling a property, he is not allowed to discriminate against anyone. Whoever comes to buy it is supposed to be able to purchase it as long as he is providing the asked price. And real estate agents have to show this sign of this little house with an equal sign inside called Equal Opportunity Housing. And this sign means that this person pledges not to discriminate. And some people are surprised to find out that the Torah doesn't believe in this concept the same way as we believe in it in the Western world. According to the Torah, you are sometimes supposed to discriminate against someone when you are selling real estate. For example, in the weekly chapter of Va'et Hanan, there is a law which is called Bar Metra, which literally translates as the neighboring property owner. If I am selling a field and I put out a price, this field is going for $500,000, and two people give me an offer, and one of them has a field which is right next to the one I'm selling, my immediate neighbor, and the other one lives further out. Even if the guy who lives further out is outbidding the guy who is living right next door, as long as the next door neighbor is giving my asking price, I am obligated to sell it to him. Not only that, let's say I'm putting out my field on the market. And as we know, in recent time, real estate market was very hot. People buy houses on the day that they're listed. I'm putting up my field for sale, and a person is coming on the same day, giving me an offer, and I'm selling it to him. So everything seems to be fine. But the person who I sold it to is not owning any properties nearby. But the next day comes the owner of a neighboring property to the one I sold. And he says, "One second, I didn't see that this property was for sale. I wanted to buy it. If I would have seen this for sale sign, I would have made an offer, but right now it's already sold and I really wanted to buy it." So we would think that probably I, as a seller, will tell this guy, "Well, sorry, this ship has sailed. You know, I sold it. What am I supposed to do now?" Well, according to the Jewish law, if this owner of the neighboring property is going to come to the buyer who purchased it from me, who is not a neighbor, and offer him the amount that he paid for this property, in other words, he's going to compensate him 100%, including taxes and everything else and all other fees, then the new buyer, who is not a neighbor, is obligated by Jewish law to sell this property to him. Because according to the Torah, the owner of the neighboring property always has the first right of refusal. And if he was not offered this first right of refusal, then as long as he comes right after the sale, he is allowed to demand that the property would be sold to him for the purchase price. Why is it? The Torah has a very important rule that we are obligated to do favors for others if it doesn't cost us anything extra. In the secular world, if you are doing a favor to someone, it is a nice gesture. You are being called a good Samaritan. You are being called a good person. But there's no a direct obligation to do a favor to someone. In the Torah, there is a direct obligation to do a favor to someone if it doesn't cost you anything extra. Now, it is nice to do a favor to someone even if it costs you something. It is very nice to do a favor to someone even if it costs you a lot. But the Jewish court cannot force you to do a favor to someone if it costs you something. But if it costs you nothing, the Jewish court can force you to do a favor to someone. Here we are in a situation where two people can potentially buy a property. And one of them is from a different area, and the other one is an owner of a neighboring property. So according to the Jewish law, the owner of a neighboring property has the first right of refusal because to him, this property is worth much more. Imagine you just bought a house, and imagine there's a sliver of land. There's like a small parcel of land, which is empty, sitting in the back of your house. And someone comes out and buys it. Why do they buy it? They buy it because they want to make an organic garden, and they just want to put up something there. The guy who bought it, he lives two blocks down. But you would actually want to have this extra piece of land as an addition to your backyard. So to you, this land is worth more than to someone else. An owner of a neighboring property always sees greater value in this piece of land. If it's a field, then obviously a person would rather have one large field than two small fields in different places. If it's a piece of land which is in the back of your house, you would want to have a larger backyard. But then if I'll ask you, well, you know what? Instead of having a larger backyard, I can offer you a piece of land down the block. You'll say, no, it doesn't work like that. I don't need a piece of land down the block. I need a larger backyard. So to you, a piece of land, regardless of size, which is right next to your house, will always have a greater value. And this is why the Torah is saying we have a situation where two people are offering the same amount of money. They're both offering the asking price. But to one, this land is worth much more than to the other. The Torah is saying that the one who sees a greater value in this land, just by virtue of an objective standard of being a next-door neighbor, is supposed to have the first right of refusal. Now, I will also tell you something interesting, that this law about the first right of refusal for a neighbor is applicable only when both purchasers or both potential purchasers are trying to buy land for their field for growing things. This is why I specifically brought an example of a field. What if one of them wants to buy a piece of land to make a small farm to grow things, and the other one wants to buy this land for a house to live in? Then the Torah is saying, no. If the next door neighbor is trying to buy a piece of land for his farm, but a guy who is coming from further out is trying to build a house there. So you have two people who are bidding for the same land, and they're offering the same price, but the next door neighbor is trying to make a farm. And the guy who is living down the block is trying to build a house for himself to live. The Torah is saying that in this case, the guy who is building a house is supposed to have a precedent. Why? Because a house is much more important than a field to grow things. So we see an interesting situation in the Torah. We see that when people are buying real property, in American law, the rule is first come, first served, and there's no real preferences here. The Torah is looking at the intrinsic value of this real property, and the Torah is telling us that if somebody has a greater value by objective standards, then he's supposed to have a preference in this transaction. I will tell you another example from already very recent history. In New York, right now, all over New York, all over Brooklyn, real estate prices are sky high. In Crown Heights, which is the Chabad community of Brooklyn, Chabad Central, that if you are looking to buy a house, it's going to be several million dollars. At one point, the Lubavitcher Rebbe instituted a system that would keep prices down. Today, the system will not work because right now, the entire Brooklyn, the whole New York is a desirable area and people, whoever they are coming to buy houses there. Several decades ago, Crown Heights was known as a community of Chabad Hasidim, Lubavitch Hasidim, and besides for them, nobody else wanted to live in that neighborhood. So the Rebbe instituted to make a system that would keep prices down. The Rebbe instructed a community organization of Crown Heights, which is called Crown Heights Jewish Community Council, to create a waiting list for houses. And whenever a house went on the market, you were not allowed to list it for everyone. You were supposed to come to the Crown Heights Community Council, tell them that you have a house for sale, and they would look at the list and they would see who is the next one in line. And this next person would come and look at the house. He would have the first right of refusal. If he doesn't like it, then the following person will come and take a look at it. This would eliminate a bidding war. So prices of houses would stay down. The Rebbe created the system and it worked for a very long time. So this is another example how the Torah is not in every case supporting the idea of free market. From the legal perspective, I'm supposed to follow Fair Housing Act only if I'm listing it in open market. But if you come to me and you tell me, Rabbi Bilinski, I know you own this house, can I buy it from you? And I say yes, there's nothing illegal about it. If I walk into a room of five people and I'm saying, hey guys, I have a house for sale, who wants a house? And one of you five people say, I want, and I'm selling it to you. I'm not doing anything illegal. So the same thing, this person who wanted to sell a house would come into the office of the Jewish Community Council of Crown Heights, and he would say, I have a house for sale, and they would follow the protocol that the Rebbe has created. So houses were not listed with a realtor. Today it won't work, because today Chabad Hasidim are not the only ones who are living in Crown Heights and not the only ones who are buying houses there. It's not going to really work technically. But back then, it did.